Look, this... us working together, it's not a way for us to get back together, if that's what you want.
It's not. Look, I can't blame you for being all skittish.
Skittish? That's not a word I would use for it. You tried to rape me. I don't have the words.
Neither do I. I can't say sorry. I can't use forgive me. All I can say is, Buffy, I've changed.
I believe you.
Well, that's something.
I just don't know what you've changed into.
Goodness, ladies and gentlemen and others. Welcome to another episode of Boys Watching Buffy. We're just two boys watching every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for the first time, giving a review, our reactions. We're your hosts. I am Joe Welke.
I am Vance.
And today we're talking about Season 7, Episode 2, titled Beneath You. Directed by Nick Mark, written by Douglas Petrie. Original air date, October 1st, 2002, to an audience of 4.97 million people. And before we get into the episode, everybody, we have a shout out
from Sloppy Joe. Sloppy Joe wants to send a very special shout out to Bianca Marie. Bianca Santanello. Gave us a 5-star. The pronunciation's all over the place with that one. We got a 5-star Spotify review from Bianca. So thank you, Bianca. We really appreciate it. If you want to get a shout out, 5-star Apple Podcasts rating and review, 5-star Spotify rating, and send it to us by any means possible.
And that is a wrap on the shout outs today. It feels like a lot less coming from last week where we had to divide them.
But I'm happy that, you know, I love the shout outs, but I'm happy we only have one today because I'm excited to talk about this episode. I don't exactly know why, but I'm excited. I came into the recording just excited to talk about these podcasts. So I'm
Before we started, Vance was doing a little dance. He was like, I'm fucking amped for this, dude.
Yeah.
And it could be because we are in the monster era, ladies and gentlemen and others. We are fucking monstering it up. I am rocking with the Ultra Peachy Keen today. You're going with the Zero Ultra today?
I'm going with the Zero Ultra, yeah.
This is your first time trying Zero Ultra, right?
It is.
I'm a big fan of Zero Ultra. I think I might like it more than the Ultra Peachy Keen, if I'm being honest with you, but I love both of them.
Yeah, I can't tell what flavor this is at all.
Right?
It is.
Yeah.
I will say it leans a little tropical. I could see you being a Dew guy, a Baja Blast guy, like in the tropicalness of whatever Zero Ultra flavor is.
I mean, I fucking love Ultra Peachy Keen too. Shout out to Slytherin and Michelle Malone for supplying us with the monster era. Really appreciate that. But
fueling the podcast.
Fueling it. We need it for season 7.
Which we've heard some people are saying, hey, whoa, ease up. Season 7 is not the worst.
Yeah. That makes me feel good.
It makes me feel good, but it feels like a retcon because I feel like people have been saying.
People have been bashing season 7.
We have one specific listener who says that we will really enjoy once we get past like episode 10 of the season.
Yeah, man. But yeah, man, this episode, I kind of dug it. It feels like things are moving really fast. Like last week we talked about how it was like immediately Buffy jumps into the school. She has a job and demons are already there. Mm-hmm. This one, I feel like ordinarily, Buffy the Vampire Slayer would have dragged out this storyline a lot longer than it has happened, you know?
I think they are going to drag it out, too, because I think they teased the Beneath You. But the Beneath You that we got was not the Beneath You thing that is actually the enemy.
Yeah. The Beneath You that we predicted, too, I was off a little bit. Because I think I said that it was going to I said it was going to have to do with Spike, which this episode heavily does, but not in the manner that I had predicted, because You're Beneath Me was like his triggering thing back in that one episode. And that doesn't really come up in this episode. So there's that.
And you had the Hellmouth Beneath the Principal, which doesn't come up.
Yeah.
And I said some job is beneath someone. And yeah, I think Giles is beneath being a watcher.
Oh yeah,
but no, I don't think none of our predictions are great.
I love learning that like those English scenes are just at his house, like his actual house, and he's like, "I'm not flying to America for this bullshit anymore."
I will say, I think this is the best Giles has looked in this one scene in that jacket. He just looks like he's so chill. He's like, get out of here. Just.
Dude.
but we should follow up. We did get a little pushback of us kind of brushing through the villain montage of last episode at the end.
Now,
this is what I would say. I want to say, I don't think we said that we didn't really pay attention to all the lines of it.
Yeah. We did talk about it for a long time.
We did talk about it. We did say, oh, it's good to see the mayor, good to see all these people. We don't know what this season has to offer. And having seen that scene again, just like for clipping purposes for social media, I honestly couldn't tell you what any, it's all just ominous character speak.
It's well written. Jibber-jabber.
Yeah, it's well written, ominous jibber jabber that would make a lot of sense after you see the season. So it was nothing we could comment on.
Yeah, for that. People in Discord were like, I can't believe you guys just whizzed past that. And like, we did talk about it for a good like 10, 15 minutes afterwards. Yeah, I feel like
there's Adam. Ooh, there's Glory. Ooh, there's the mayor. I mean, it's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. It was cool to see them all again.
Yeah. But there was no way we were like, you didn't want Joe doing all the performances, did you guys? Did you guys?
Oh boy. Oh boy. I did take a voice acting class recently, everybody. So be on the lookout for some shtick. I got my fucking ass chewed by the teacher who is a very famous anime fucking voice actor. Turns out to be kind of a butthole.
Do one more butt ass pun.
Oh man. All right, let's get into this episode. This episode starts off with dude, if I thought that last season was recap heavy, this episode like the first 5 minutes of it I felt like was all recap.
Yep.
It was crazy.
They even showed Tara getting shot.
Yeah.
All right.
Why? It didn't really play that much into this.
It still didn't explain what Willow was doing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it could just like, it's episode two. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So here's all the recap that we got. We got Spike being in love with Buffy, Buffy dumping Spike, Xander and Anya getting married, Xander leaving her at the altar, Spike trying to rape Buffy, Warren shooting Buffy and Tara, Willow turning dark, Warren getting flayed, Spike getting his soul, Willow in England, Halfrek telling Anya that something is rising, the new school opening, Buffy becoming a guidance counselor, and Buffy finding Spike in the basement of the school. That's so much recapping, dude.
Yeah.
It's egregious.
Yeah, so much.
So then we go over to Frankfurt, Germany. For another one of these scenes like we saw last time where it was in Istanbul and it's a girl running, being clothed, chased by clothed human beings, and she fights them off for a little bit. She's kicking them. She's got a little like Ramona Flowers hair type of situation going on.
Well, they're doing a Run Lola Run opening.
It's what this is?
Yeah, it's a movie that came out in like 98, a German movie, like very techno, very... The girl has the exact same hair. It's definitely Run Lola Run. But yeah.
So she eventually gets caught by these cloaked people and she's fighting them off. But then eventually they stab her, and then she looks into the camera and says, "From beneath you, it devours." And then Buffy wakes up from a nightmare. And she's like, whoa, screaming. And Dawn is like sitting there, like watching her sleep, apparently.
Yeah. I was like, what made the nightmare worse is that Dawn was sitting on the edge of the bed watching her.
So it turns out that the nightmare that Buffy had just woke up screaming from was the scene in Frankfurt, Germany. And Buffy's like, what? I was in fucking Germany and people were chasing me and I saw a girl. And Dawn's like, what? Oh, tell me more, Buffy. It was just a dream. Tell me more, Buffy. And Buffy's like, no, but it was so much more than that. And she said, from beneath you, it devours. And there's more out there. There's more out there like her that are going to die. And she's out there looking outside of her window like, oh, something bad's going to happen. Something bad's going down. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I was like, are these slayers being killed? They're not putting up much of a fight. Who are these women? Are they the next in line to be slayers? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting. But then it's piqued my interest. I'm like, okay, well, what is this?
Yeah.
And then an earthquake starts happening and the ground starts breaking up underneath because from beneath you it devours, but not actually. But actually, literally, it does. But something else.
Would that even be ominous to you if you were hearing from beneath you, it devours? I'd be like, yeah, the Hellmouth underneath. I've been to hell already. I get it.
Well, it also is.
I'll just bite
like,
it when it shows up.
I mean, remember when Buffy used to get visions in her dreams?
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're going back to that.
Yeah. Yeah, they talk. There's a lot of vision talk in this one.
That used to be like a central part of the show, and then they kind of like left it out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's oddly back. I kind of forgot that it was a thing until this.
It's the one thing that gives slayers that extra oomph that you can't just train someone, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, so then we go over to Spike, and he's in the basement of the school again, and he's going crazy. He's still got his crazy hair, and he's talking to rats and just saying a bunch of mumbo jumbo, and the earthquake starts and he starts to feel it. And he's like, no, it's not time yet. It's not time. They're hardly ready. And then he starts screaming and it's all very ominous, I guess.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Me and Vance just both shrugged our shoulders so hard.
he's hunting down an Amy rat.
Yeah. So then Dawn's being driven to school with Buffy and Xander, and Dawn is like, oh, it's so cool, Buffy, that you're going to be working at school. You're going to be a guidance counselor. That's very cool, but don't talk to me and don't embarrass me in front of my friends, and you're going to ruin my popularity. And Buffy's like, don't worry, I'm not going to do it. It's my first day on the job. Cut me some slack. Wonder what I'm going to be doing. And Xander's like, I'm happy that you're going to be there, Buffy. It's going to be great that you're going to be there protecting all the school children, and because we built it right back on top of the Hellmouth again. grave error on our part, but yeah, it's going to be good that you're there because, you know, there was already demonic activity on day one.
Yeah. And Dawn mentions that they don't know what her title is. They won't just give Buffy a title, a job title. It's so strange to me that they won't just say, oh, you're... And just make up some title that you're the assistant to the counselor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Dad Xander driving the family to school.
Yeah, and this is where I started to kind of like, so he's driving him to school. He's in his dad outfit and everything. And he's like, I'm happy that you're going to be there, Buffy. But you know what I'm actually sad about? Is I can't get a fucking date in this town. And Buffy's like, you're not that bad off, Xander. Like, you know, you could probably get a date. And Xander's like, no, I tried. I got nothing. Nothing's coming up, Xander. And then Buffy's like, well, what about Anya? How's Anya doing? And he's like, oh, she's a fucking vengeance demon, dude. Like, it's not good. I don't think that I think that ship might have sailed. I tried to talk to her, but she's a vengeance demon. And then Buffy's like, oh yeah, isn't that funny? You know, we all, and then Dawn starts shitting on him for dating demons. And then Buffy's like, excuse me, Missy. I do recall that your first kiss was with a vampire that you staked. And then Dawn's like, shut up.
Yeah, they go heavy with the references in this one again.
Now,
yeah.
I just want to mention, these are people in their early 20s. Like, I know that I bitched about dating and everything when I was in my early 20s.
You had a podcast called Dating is Hard.
But Xander being like, it's like he's a divorced dad in this scene.
Well,
like,
I think he's just a date. I think he's just manifesting.
Yeah.
I think he's manifesting.
Like, I always have to stop and remind myself, like, this dude is like either 21, 22, or 23.
I would think dating in Sunnydale would be tricky for
people. Half of them are vampires.
Yeah, I'd be terrified.
Yeah.
Like, his dating history, as we've gone through, is very, very flawed.
Inca mummy girl.
Yeah.
Well, we first had a crush on Buffy Slayer.
Yeah.
Inca mummy
girl. Which he's gotten past. Which he has fully gotten past.
Yeah.
It's still been held against him by the Xander haters. He has gotten past it.
The praying mantis bug lady teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Then Faith, who is another Slayer.
Who basically raped him.
Then a vengeance demon.
Mm-hmm. Or forgetting Cordelia.
Oh, yeah, Cordelia. That's
and
the
Willow.
Only normal.
And Willow.
Oh, yeah, Willow. Yeah,
the
yeah.
Willow affair.
But from what we see with Cordelia now and Angel, which we will talk about on patreon.com/boyswatchingBuffy.
All right, let's just speed through this so we can talk about Angel.
Yeah. But anyway, so they go to school and Buffy's getting shown her office and Principal Wood tells her about her job.
Yeah, we learned the name Robin Wood was always interesting to me. I thought it had like a deeper meaning, but Joe Dean mentioned in his on Discord and gave us information that they weren't sure if the principal would be a woman or a guy, so they just named it Robin Wood so it could be, you know, they could switch it.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the casting call for the I would love to see the audition for this role.
Yeah. So he's talking to her about the job, and the job basically is laying out to her is like, don't talk at them. Don't give them advice. They just need, just listen to them. You know, these troubled kids, they just needed an ear to speak to. And that's why you're here, is because you can relate to these kids because you graduated like 2 years ago. And Buffy's like, I don't even have a college degree. And he's like, that doesn't fucking matter, dude. Like, you just need to.
You see all the people's heads turning. Everyone's head turned like, why does she got this job? Because she's hot.
Well, everyone's like, she must have fucked the principal.
He's like, you're one of the less stuffy teachers or guidance people here. So the students will obviously listen to someone around their age telling them about life that has no life experience.
Some hot blonde chick that was 2 weeks ago working at a fast food burger joint.
She should just like keep metal rods near her, and just when like students come in, she just bends it in half like Superman and just be like, I'm awesome. Now listen to me.
And just be like, now don't fuck with me.
Yeah, just like, just go into the gym and just start lifting weights and pressing the football team and shit.
But Buffy's super jazzed. She's like, am I able to give kids detention? And the principal's like, I mean, I guess.
Power. Really want, it's about power, Joe. It's about power.
Who's got the power? But then he's like, but I'm just warning you, be careful because these kids will eat you alive. And then Buffy goes, oh, you heard about Principal Flutie, though, right? And then Robin Wood's like, huh? It's like, you have a fucking dossier on Buffy, but you didn't hear about what happened to the principals, the two principals before you?
Well, here's my question. What do they think happened to the school?
Right?
Like, what is the report from the school blowing up, the mayor disappearing that same day, and the principal not being there.
Dude.
Like, what does the record say? I just don't know
how he's, like, got this deep history write-up about Buffy and her entire history. But she's like, remember what happened to Principal Flutie, which was, like, 4 or 5 years ago. And he's like,
I could understand the Flutie, not getting the Flutie, but I really want to know about the school being blown up. Like, what is the report?
Yeah.
They don't have a mayor. The mayor was gone after that.
Yeah, man. The mayor was killed in the report, probably.
Faculty members saw the mayor turn into a giant monster.
Yes.
Okay.
And that giant monster ate the principal.
Yes. And Armin some students. Shiverman.
What was his character? Snyder.
Snyder.
The Principal Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
What a great name for such a weasel that he was.
He was so good. I think he needed to be on the show.
Principal Snyder fucking ruled, dude.
He needed to be the dean of the college.
Yeah, that guy, he was such a great actor. Mm-hmm. So then after Buffy is like shown this whole thing, she's like, why do I have this job? He's like, you know the students. You're young, you're hip. You're not like me, a hip guy in a suit and I got a earring. You're younger than me.
An actor who's probably just a few years older than you right now.
Yeah, maybe 1 year older than Sarah Michelle Gellar. He's really young.
Yeah, he's super young.
I don't know, man. But Buffy's like, all right, cool. I'm going to just go wander around the school for a little bit, check out the new grounds. And where does she go first? She goes immediately to the basement to find Spike. And she goes into the room and the door closes behind her. And she's like, oh, Spike. Very ominous.
He's about 8 years older than her.
Oh, Robin Wood is?
Yeah.
Wow, I would have never guessed. He's a fucking young-looking, handsome guy.
Yeah. Sarah Michelle Gellar's 46 right now. He's 54.
Anyway, so then we go over to England. We're with Willow in England, and she's getting ready to go home. And she's like, Giles, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't think I'm ready to go home yet. And Giles is like, just get the fuck out of here, dude. Like, I don't... you're ready. You're ready. You've done enough. Yeah, you get back. Get out of here. And Willow's like, no, but I want to stay longer. And Giles is like, I mean, you can, but like, what the fuck do you think you're going to learn? What do you think? What are you so afraid of? And she's like, well, there's the Hellmouth there. And I'm concerned that my friends won't forgive me for trying to end the world and trying to kill them. And Giles is like, oh, poppycock. Just get off of my fucking property, dude.
I don't want to be in the show anymore. I want to ride my horses once this rain lets up.
It's so like, oh no, you're big and strong. Well, you're fine. You'll be fine. He does the whole thing like, you could stay here another 2 years and there's no guarantee that they'll forgive you or whatever. And Willow's like, but please, yeah. I don't want to go. And Giles is like, taxi's here. See ya.
It's something like, you might not be wanted, but you will be needed. You know?
Yeah.
And I would think Willow should get a fresh start somewhere other than Sunnydale.
Yeah, like a spinoff series with Giles.
That doesn't seem like that's happening, even for Giles. Giles like, taxi's here. Yep. Your bags are in it. Just go. I'm not driving you to the airport. I'm not driving you to Heathrow. You crazy?
I don't have a car here. What do you want me to take you on a horseback? Fuck that.
That would be amazing.
That'd be awesome. But... Yeah, Giles says that she'll be needed in Sunnydale, and Willow's like, all right, I guess, whatever. I guess we won't be having a spinoff after all.
I guess I'll go back to the place where my girlfriend was murdered. I tried to end the world. I have nothing but bad memories.
Yeah, no family that is concerned about where I am.
Yeah, I guess my parents still live there.
Oh my God, dude.
Yeah.
So then we go back to Sunnydale and there's a lady. She's walking her dog alone at night and the dog stops and he's like growling at the ground. And she's like, come on, let's go. Take a shit already. I want to go home. It's nighttime. Don't you know how dangerous it is here in Sunnydale at nighttime? And the dog's just growling at the ground. And then a hole opens up and the dog gets swallowed into the hole. And then the lady turns, she's like, oh, my dog. And then she's holding on to the leash still. And she starts to get pulled into the hole. And then a big demon pops up out of the ground. And she starts running. And she runs into Xander. And Xander's like, oh, hello.
You know, Xander's just being a creep walking around at night.
Right? He's on patrol.
Yeah. She had such a grip on that leash. Right? It's like, let go.
Yeah. If you see a dog got swallowed up and you're being dragged across the ground, maybe let go. I mean, I guess that kind of is a panic response, maybe, where you just like grip tighter.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it works for the visual of it. It's very nitpicky, but it works for the visual of her being dragged. Interesting that she was like, I should have gotten a cat. Like, she doesn't like the dog. So, like, the dog being eaten is like kind of okay.
Yeah. Like, she was not beaten up about that at all.
Not at all.
She's just like, eh, whatever. It was a piece of shit anyway.
Yeah. Hey, sometimes the dog gets eaten, you know. It's Sunnydale. She's like,
it's Sunnydale, fine baby. With it.
It's like so weird.
So after she runs into Xander and he's like, oh, hello. I don't know what the greeting was but it was like very creepy.
It's like he'd never seen a girl before. And couldn't hear the sound of her screaming.
Yeah. So Xander takes her back to Buffy's house and the lady's telling Buffy and Dawn and Xander what happened. And she's like, yeah, there's my dog. I was walking my dog and then a hole just opened up and swallowed my dog. And it started to swallow me in this big fucking, I don't know what popped out of the ground. And I don't know, it was crazy looking, but yeah, I don't know, man. You hear some crazy shit about what goes on in Sunnydale, but I've never actually seen anything. But you'd have to be crazy to believe these things. And Xander and Buffy are like, this is not even half of the craziest thing that we heard earlier today.
Now, my question during this scene was, does she think that Xander and Buffy are detectives? Why is she spilling her guts to what seems to be just two people of her same age and a younger girl?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Why does she think, oh, yeah, this is a group of people I should like relate this to?
Yeah. I guess because Xander was the first person that she ran into after. Also, she looks so much older than even them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she looks like, we always joke about how, yeah, Xander looks older than everybody. This lady looked older than all of them.
Yeah, she definitely looks older. She's probably not older than them that much.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
she
might be
look.
The same age, but yeah, maybe she's like a smoker or something.
she just has a more adult look.
Yeah. But Xander's like oddly trying to kind of mack on her, but he's blowing it because he keeps bringing up her dead dog and like trying to joke about it. And he's like, fuck, I'm blowing it.
Yeah, it's some really bad flirting.
Yeah, and then Buffy is like, oh, it came up from under the ground, huh? Oh, from beneath you, it devours. This is like that dream. And the lady's like, what the fuck's going on?
Like,
here?
Get out of there, Nancy. You're in trouble.
Yeah, and then Spike shows up, and he's like, I'm here to help. And everybody just looks at him like, what?
Spike shows up in his tight blue shirt.
Dude, he's got on like an Under Armour compression shirt.
Yeah. And his hair's
better. And his hair's better. Yeah. And he seems more sane.
How do you get his hair better?
Dude.
Did he get a haircut and he bleached it? How does that happen?
Those rats are also hairdressers, Vance. And so Spike is there like, I'm here to help. Sounds like you guys need some help. And everybody looks at him like, the fuck you are, buddy. You're not here. Who are you here to help? And he's like, no, I need to talk to Buffy alone. And they're like, the fuck you are, dude. Like, are you serious? You kidding me, bro? And so Nancy is witnessing all of this, and she's like, who the fuck is this guy? And they're like, it's Buffy's, like, kind of ex. And then she's like, okay. And Spike's like, I was living in the school basement. And Dawn's like, Buffy, you saw Spike, and you didn't tell me about this? And Buffy's like, look, there was more prescient things going on. Like, your life was in danger. I had to save your life. And they all start bickering. And Nancy's looking around like, whose fucking house am I in? Why did I come here?
Yeah. I love when Dawn stands up to confront Buffy because she's a clear, like, 3 inches taller than her.
Yeah.
So it's really stark. And then
Dawn has hit that growth spurt. Yeah.
Buffy has one of my favorite lines in this. Is she goes, things were insane in the basement.
Yeah.
I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah. And then Buffy's like, all right, everybody calm down. I'm going to talk to Spike alone. We'll talk to Spike alone. And then Xander pulls her aside and he's like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And Buffy's like, don't worry about it. I got this. And then she goes and she talks to Spike and she's like, what do you fucking want? What's your plan here? He's like, I got no plan. I'm just here to help. I can tell that something's brewing and I feel like you can tell something's brewing. And if I'm wrong, if you think I'm wrong, I'll leave. You can put on whatever magical spell that you need to make me never able to come in here again. And I won't bother you again. But I think that you need my help. And Buffy's like, okay, fine. Yeah, something is brewing. But since when are you the champion of the people? And I was like, they're not bringing this vernacular into Buffy. Please do not.
I noted that too. I was like, oh no. Oh no, yeah. We got another champion.
I know there's some people that skip out on Angel, but mm-hmm. in Angel, they're using this vocabulary where like champion is like this hero of the people. And it seems like everyone's being labeled a champion and Angel these days.
Yeah.
And so when Buffy said, since when are you a champion of the people? I was like, no.
I know. I know some people don't want to do the Angel. I don't really like
Angel.
Yeah,
we had somebody like, hey, can I just get the cliff notes of how you guys feel about Angel? It's up and down.
Yeah. But apparently this season really ties in to the Angel season. So much so that we have to watch these in a different order. As mm-hmm. not to get spoiled for something. But they intertwined. They intertwined the first two seasons very closely. The third season, not so much. And the fourth season, I guess, is going to be tied into seventh season.
You kind of gotta with it being Buffy's last season, you know?
Yeah, a little bit, but I don't know how. Yeah. I don't know how how this series ends, so yeah.
If you're on the fence about joining the Patreon for Angel, let me just go ahead and say you should do it. We have some real good times on Angel. Real good times on Angel.
Yeah, and sometimes we follow up stuff because we'll go behind the curtain. We record these before the Angel.
Yeah, we record Buffy before our Angel.
So we
podcast.
Have had some times where we rehash some Buffy stuff that we forgot immediately afterwards on the Angel. Yeah. So I don't know.
I will say the Angel podcast is a little bit more laid back. It's a lot more. Rant. But yeah. I love our Angel. I mean, I love our Buffy podcast.
Yeah, we wanted the Angel podcast to feel different. So it's not a straight scene by scene breakdown. We kind of bounce around. We have some segments. It's fun.
Yeah. So after Buffy and Spike have their little powwow, they come back out and Buffy's like, all right, here's our battle plan. Nancy's like, I'm going to call the police. And Xander goes, and tell them what?
And then she goes, all right. Maybe just tell them you're at Buffy's place, the one that the girl has like broken into police stations multiple times.
But then Nancy thinks that Buffy is Xander's girlfriend. And Xander's like, oh, no. That's not a thing.
What?
And I was like, okay.
Is it Buffy's house, the house that two people were shot in? Like, is that not
on
like
the radar?
Big news? It's not even big news.
But the battle plan includes Xander taking Nancy home and Buffy and Spike are going to go on patrol. And Spike is like, hey, a moment alone here with you, Buffy, really quick. Let me pull you aside. I kind of object to this because remember,
yeah,
Spike
Xander
tried
and Buffy.
To rape you.
Yeah, Xander and Buffy.
Yeah, like he whispers like, remember Spike tried to rape you. Like Buffy's going to forget that. Buffy's like, and he didn't because I kicked his ass. So I'll be fine.
She says, yeah, he tried and failed. I can take him. I was like, all right. That's not the vote of confidence I necessarily wanted. He tried and he failed. Okay. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, I got it.
Emphasis on the word try. Jesus.
Does the school have a counselor thing? That's what she's
asking. So Xander's like, all right, dude, I don't think this is a good idea, but you are the slayer and you can kick my ass, and you did kick his ass, and I do kind of want to mack on this Nancy lady, so.
Yeah.
And so they're like, all right, that's the plan, break. And then Dawn tries to do this thing of like, and all right, I'll stay here at Command Central and everybody check in with me. But in all actuality, I'll just be here doing my homework. It sounded cooler the way that I did that. Mm-hmm. And so everybody starts to leave and Spike's like the last one out. And Dawn pulls Spike aside and she's like, hey, Spike, before you go, I need to talk to you. And Spike's like, yeah, what's up, little niblet? And she's like, you sleep, right? Vampires sleep. And Spike's like, yeah, vampires sleep. What? Yeah, we sleep. And Dawn's like, so you sleep. And he's like, yeah, what about it? And she goes, if you fucking touch my sister, you're going to wake up on fire because I'm going to light you on fucking fire while you sleep. And Spike's like, oh, wow. When did you get so spicy? And he's like very jovial for a guy that's like looking for forgiveness and like everybody hates him. And he's just like, eh, okay, yeah, I deserve this. Okay.
This is my favorite Dawn moment of the series so far.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good Dawn moment.
Yeah.
I just didn't get Spike's attitude as a reaction.
He says it later in a later scene. He's like, when did your little sis become so scary?
Yeah.
But I mean, he's a vampire. He's been threatened before. He's not really gonna freak out. Buffy threatens him like twice when they were dating.
True.
Yeah.
So then, speaking of that scene, we go to Spike and Buffy. They're out on patrol and they find the hole that opened up and swallowed the dog.
This city's fucked, man.
Yeah, dude. The whole road is just like, fuck.
Yeah.
And Xander's standing over it. Ooh, contracty goodness.
I can't help but think about Xander's saying that anytime something gets damaged.
Yep. That's going to be the running joke of season 7. Everybody strap in. Get ready for it. But Buffy was like, so what happened to you, dude? Like, you were crazy when I saw you last. And Spike's like, oh yeah, ghosts in the basement, man. They got into my head. They were really fucking with me. And Spike's like, so why didn't you tell people that you ran into me when we were in the basement?
Because you raped me.
Like, yeah. Like,
you tried to rape me. Why would I tell anybody?
Yeah. And Buffy's like, I don't know. I thought that you were maybe like a mirage or something. Like, maybe I thought that, you know, well, I thought those ghosts were fake. So I thought that you were kind of fake. I was like, all right, fair point. Mm-hmm. And Spike is like, well, man, I'm not too keen on sticking my head down there. And Buffy's like, well, you're fucking gonna. And Spike's like, all right, all right. Here, let me check out this. And he starts looking down there with the flashlight. And he's like, there's nothing down here. After he goes on a whole thing of like, yeah, you know, shit's different now, and I've changed a little bit. And Buffy's like, oh yeah, well, how'd you change? And he's like, I'm keeping that a little bit of a secret. Okay, why? But he gives her the flashlight back, and when their hands touch,
he calls it a torch.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's British. He's
British.
He gives her the torch back, and she touches him and has a flashback to the rape attempt.
He's holding it where she can't grab it without touching his hand. He's covering the whole thing. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, why are you so skittish? And Buffy's like, why am I so skittish? You tried to rape me. And Spike's like, oh, that was months ago, dude. I've changed. And Buffy's like, yeah, I kind of believe you, but I don't know what's changed, and I don't know what's gotten into you, and I don't know what's going on here, but I can tell that you've changed, so what's up? And Spike's like, I'm not Sharon, but I'll be here, and I'll be useful to you for as long as you want, and you can use me however you want. And I was like, oh, that's poor wording, I feel like.
I thought the scene was done really well, like, where he says, I can't say I'm sorry. I can't say this to convince you, you know, if there's no apology I can give.
Yeah, and you can't say forgive me.
Yeah, and this was the scene where I was like, James Marsters is charismatic as fuck. Like,
yeah,
he's just really good. And my thought was the producers were right to keep him in the show.
Mm-hmm.
They saw a talent and they were like, hey, I know Whedon, he doesn't fit the mold of what you're exactly going for, but like, we have to find a way to keep this guy around. Like, I don't know if they were like, he has to be a love interest or whatever, but they were like, this guy needs to be a part of the show. He's a talent.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. And again, as much as I'm not for the Buffy Spuffy stuff, I do like James Marsters and Spike as a character in it.
Yes.
I like him being bad.
Yeah, he's a great, like, you know, they have that term, the villain you love to hate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's good
as
a villain. And then even a little bit as the love interest when it was complicated. But then, like, how do you come back from
His scenes are just always interesting. Like, when he's on screen, it's always a little compelling.
Yeah.
But I will still say, kill him.
Yeah. So then we go over to Xander taking Nancy home, and, you know, he's in the doorway with her, and she's like, all right, this is me. And Xander's like, all right, yes, it is. All right, it's lovely meeting you in this strange circumstances. And she's like, hey, do you mind if I can't give you a call sometime? And Xander's like, oh, yeah, in case you see another demon or something or another thing comes up from the ground. And she's like, no, you idiot, I'm hitting on you. And Xander's like, oh, yeah, sure, that'd be cool. And I was just like, God, this guy is dense.
When he says my number's listed, I was like, no, this is not, you're not making her look you up in the phone book. Just give her the damn number.
I thought that it was going to be a situation where you like left and then he's like, fuck, I blew it. Like, he's too nonchalant here. I mean, Nancy's hot.
She just asked you out. You have nothing to lose now. Like, you don't have to, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Dude, single women listening to this podcast out here, ask men out if you're into them. It's so surprising. Like, I have gone on dates with women that I was like, I don't think I'd really ever, like, I wouldn't put in the work for it. But then if they ask me out, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. All right, I will go out with you. And then that's led to several relationships that I've had where it's like, I'm willing to give it a chance, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So ask men out. We like it too.
Yeah. I feel like if you're a woman that gets asked out constantly, you're probably annoyed with it.
Yeah, you're. Yeah.
But guys don't get asked out that often.
Yeah.
And
it's surprising and it's nice when it does happen.
And if they say no, it's okay. Just don't be a Xander season 2 about it, you know? Just be like, all right. Just be like, all right. Don't go home and eat like a gallon of ice cream and feel bad about it. Just be like, you know what? That's one. And now you don't have to worry about it, you know?
Yeah. If you get rejected, welcome to our fucking world, ladies. I've been rejected so many goddamn times.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, so Nancy's hitting on him, and after Xander's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool, we can go out, earthquake starts happening. And then the floor starts coming up again, and they're running around, and they're running away from the floor that's coming up after them. And the fucking, like, I said it was, it's, what does this demon look like? Because I looks wrote like Sarlacc Pit, but that's not right.
It looks like it's one of the Tremors Graboids, but more actually it's a sandworm from Dune.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, like, I haven't seen Dune, but I've seen, like, clips from it.
Dune.
Yeah, and I feel like it was, like, a Dune thing. And it,
Dune! Just, like, I saw Dune 2 this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Zero interest in Dune. Don't know why. Just not, it does not appeal to me for whatever reason.
When I was watching it, I was thinking, would Joe like this? And you would really hate the beginning of Dune 2. But I think if you stuck around, you would kind of like the ending of it.
Yeah. I mean, I've had my mind. I remember when I was about to go see Mad Max Fury Road, I was like, this does not look like anything that would interest me. And really? Then I saw it and I was like, oh, my God, this movie's excellent.
I think I was hyped from trailer to the whole thing. Yeah.
I don't know.
And I'm not Mad Max person either. But that movie looks amazing.
That's the only Mad Max movie that I've ever seen, and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's very different than other Mad Max movies.
And I also had zero hype going in to see Captain America Winter Soldier. And my God, that movie is fantastic.
Yep.
But so I could turn it around on Dune, but I probably won't go see it. But yeah, so this worm demon type thing comes up from the ground. It's trying to eat Nancy and Xander. And then after they like climb 5 stairs, it's like, oh, shucks, I can't get them now.
Yeah, I was like, you know, you can come through the stairs too.
Right. Or like open up the ground that's beneath the stairs. Like
it is so much damage that it's causing too.
Yeah.
Like this should be a city
apartment
problem.
Building is fucked.
This should be a city problem. There should be like people hunting this thing down.
Yeah. Infrastructure, man. That's our tax dollars. Your tax dollars at work. Oh, I don't want to get into another political thing.
Get away from it, Joe. Get away from it.
So after they have a second to breathe, Nancy and Xander just kind of look at each other, and Nancy's like, oh, I bet fucking Ronnie would love this. And Xander's like, who's Ronnie? And she's like, oh, it's my psycho ex-boyfriend, and I've been trying to get rid of him, and but he's like kind of stalkery, and I tried to break up with him, but he just won't leave me alone. And Xander's like, you think that Ronnie's like the type of guy that would, you know, is he like a psycho ex-boyfriend? Like, oh, he won't stop calling you? Or is he kind of more like a summon a demon to come and eat you type of guy? And she's like, no. I don't know. You ever just have an ex that you just, I don't know. They just suck and they just haunt your life for a little bit. And you just, and then Xander's like, oh, I'm going to put 2 and 2 together right now.
Yeah.
And then we go over to the bronze.
Now here's a question. Are there multiple vengeance demons? Is Helfrich working in Sunnydale or is she just visiting?
I don't know. It seems like she's taken up residence there. Like she's been in Sunnydale for a minute now. Cause like last episode, she's been hanging out with Anya at the espresso pump. I mean, I don't know.
Sunnydale can't have 2 vengeance demons.
Had 2 slayers at one point. Why the fuck not?
Yeah. I mean, they need like 4 or 5 slayers. They need like a, they've also had an initiative working there. They had a secret military installment in this small town because it was so dangerous. That was full of demons. They were never not busy.
That's true.
But there's a vampire living on campus. They couldn't figure it out. Oh, man. Yeah.
So we go over to the bronze and Anya's talking to a girl that's been cheated on and she's about to say, you know what I wish? And Anya's ears perk up and she's like, huh? And then we go to commercial and it was like the weirdest commercial break ever.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We come back from commercial, and it's almost as if the commercial time was real.
Yeah. It was so bizarre. Like, I went back and rewound a little bit because I was like, was that really where they, like, cut the commercial? Because it was so... not a commercial break moment usually for Buffy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it felt like a commercial break moment. I just didn't like the comeback from the commercial break. And then the girl completely forgot what she was just saying.
And yeah, we come back from commercial. She's like, I want more quesadillas and margaritas. And Anya's like, fucking, you were about to say that you wish something. And the girl's like, what? Did I? Maybe more salsa. And Anya's like, no, dipshit.
Like, did you go to the commercial realm? Like, what? You know what I wish for? You know, I want more quesadillas. Like, no, that wasn't, that's not how that conversation was going.
And so Anya's like, no, you were just talking about your ex and how he cheated on you and you wished something. What would you wish for your ex? And she's like, you know what I wish? I wish he had no spine. And Anya's like, no spine. All right, I can work with that. I can make that happen. And the girl looks at her like, what?
Yeah, what?
And then?
I still question vengeance demons. Like, are they just to trick? Do they think they're helping people? Or are they just there to trick people into making evil wishes?
Yeah, because I mean, based on what we find out, they're not good at making people's wishes come true.
I don't think anyone has made a vengeance demon wish and has been like happy that that wish was granted.
What about what's his face, the philanderer that broke up their wedding, future Xander? Do you think his ex was happy about it?
Probably not. I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, there's probably at least a couple people.
I don't even think
good.
She knew, though. I don't even think that person that made that wish knew that he got sent to a different dimension. They just thought he disappeared,
enough.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem like, because Dawn wasn't happy, Cordelia wasn't happy. Cordelia got killed in her wish.
Yeah.
Like, immediately.
Like, she died.
And from what we see now, Nancy's not very happy.
No.
Because Xander, Nancy, Buffy, and Spike show up, and Xander points to Anya, and he's like, did you talk to this lady? And she's like, yeah, that is her. And Xander, like, goes over to Anya. He's like, Anya, come on. You talk to this girl and you try and make her wish come true. And he turns to Nancy. He's like, what did you say to her? And she's like, I said I wish that my ex was a worm. And Anya's like, I did make him into a worm, just a big giant worm monster that attacks people. And she's like, I may have exaggerated, but he is a worm-like. And Spike is like, yeah. Turned him into a slug-off demon.
It's a great name.
He didn't even see the demon.
But he's all-knowing now.
Yeah, I guess so. And Nancy's like, who's this lady? And Xander's like, this is my ex. And Nancy's like, you all just fuck each other? Like, what's up with everybody fucking each other? Because, like, Spike goes up to Anya and she's like, you want another round or something? And Spike's like, that was only once. Or Anya's like, that was only once. He's like, why is everybody in this friend group fucking each other? And I don't think this is healthy.
They do a weird joke where she goes like, did any of you guys not sleep with each other? And then Xander and Spike look at each other like, we haven't. And I thought was, Xander hasn't slept with Buffy.
That's
why
true.
Didn't they have a look? I don't know why. Spike and Xander looked at each other. Maybe that's the next step. If Xander wakes up next to Spike.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
The show doesn't have the balls to do that.
Yeah, that's the next gay relationship. Oh, you got the balls to fucking show lesbians kissing. How about two dudes?
Do it.
Bring back Larry.
Oh, so Buffy got canceled. It didn't just end.
So Anya's like, what's the big deal? I made him into a giant slug-off demon. No big deal. No worries. And Buffy's like, it ate her puppy. And she's like, that's no fucking, who cares about puppy? Like, it's fine, whatever. And then she starts to get up and she's trying to walk away.
Well, Anya feels bad about it.
Oh, yeah. But she gets up and she starts to try and walk away and Spike grabs her. And she's like, what are you doing? What are you getting handsy with? This is where she's like, you're getting handsy with me. And she starts to talk about like the vengeance demon code of conduct,
which I really want to
understand.
I really want to know what the code of conduct for vengeance
demon
is.
Vance, you wouldn't understand.
You're all humans.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, she can tell something's up with Spike. And she's like, what did you do? How did you do it? How did you make it happen? And Spike's like, Spike at first is genuinely like, what are you talking about? He's doing good acting. And then she keeps pressing him on. She's like, no, something about you's changed. I can't see you anymore. And he's like, shut up. Nothing's changed. I'm cool. I'm not gay. You're gay. And then he eventually just hauls off and punches Anya in the face.
Twice.
Yeah. Like, just... okay, and I also, we got to set the scene once again.
Okay.
We're in the middle of the Bronze, like middle. People, regular normie folks, say about 25, 30 of them are just surrounding them, watching this man punch a woman in the face. Nobody does shit.
There is a sound, there is a voice off screen. It's like, oh my God, someone has to do something. All the extras have just cleared a path.
Yep. And it's like a horseshoe. Like they're all against the wall.
Yeah. And then Spike punches Anya. She falls down. And then he gets on top of her and punches her again.
Yep.
Then she kicks him across the room. He lands on the pool table. He hops off the pool table, and then Buffy gets in front of him and says, you haven't changed. Anya demon face happens. You're right.
Anya gets demon face.
And says, I'm going to kick your ass. No one is running out of the Bronze at this point. No one is fleeing. They are all just standing around. I laughed so hard, I had to pause. I had to pause at this moment. When Spike punched Anya twice, I was like, what are we doing? My notes go from, yeah, he's charismatic. He's got it. And then he just, oh boy, yeah.
So yeah, then Buffy grabs and she's like, you haven't changed at all. And then she punches him. And
he's in vampire face after the punch, right?
Yep. At this point, he's vampire face and he just starts taunting Buffy. He's like, you're right. I haven't changed at all. Bring it on. And then Buffy just, I wrote in all caps, in front of people in the Bronze.
Yes.
And to his credit, to Spike's credit, he does not punch Buffy at all.
He does punch
Buffy. He does?
Yes. Yes.
When?
She punches him, and then he punches her.
I don't recall that.
I went back, and he punches Buffy.
Okay.
My notes go, in all caps, bold, Spike punches Anya twice, then Buffy.
All right.
I'll trust you more than me.
He
punches Buffy, and then my next note says, just kill him.
So Buffy starts wailing on vamp-faced Spike, and he's taunting her the whole time. And then she takes a moment to, like, turn around, And Bark orders, because Nancy's left during this whole ruck. She's the only person that's
this
left.
This is how Nancy doesn't see anything in Sunnydale.
Yeah.
All you had to do is stick around. You would have saw a vampire, a demon. You would have seen a Slayer punch.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so she's yelling. She's like, Xander, go look for Nancy. It looks like she may have left. And Spike is just standing there, like, doing this, like, wobble thing. Yeah. His vampire face.
In front of everyone in the bronze. It is insane to me. The bronze is... this is, like, my... This is the pinnacle of a Buffy scene.
Yeah.
Where this Buffy's, is happening, and I'm like, what?
Well, while Buffy's, like, barking orders, she's like, Xander, go look for Nancy. She ran off. It's not safe at night. Who knows where that worm slug-off demon is? It's not safe for her out there. And then Xander's like, oh, okay. Well, I've got a better idea. He finds Anya. He's like, reverse the spell. Mm-hmm. Reverse it. And then we cut to Nancy, and Nancy is like walking through the streets, and she's like, what the fuck? Why am I? What's going on here? And then Ronnie the worm starts to follow her, and like the whole city is getting dug up. Like the ground is coming up from under her. And she's like, oh, what the fuck? And she's running through the city, and she's like, oh no. Well, his kryptonite seems to be if I'm 1 foot off of the ground, I'm going to climb a ladder. She runs up like a escape ladder that's like on the side of a building.
Escape, yeah.
Buffy's chasing after her on the rooftops.
Buffy is like, I'm not fucking with the ground.
Right?
I don't know how she got it. Who knows?
And so we go back to Nancy, and Nancy's like climbing this ladder, and Ronnie gets the bright idea to like try to break up the ground underneath the building or something, because the ladder falls off its hinges. Mm-hmm. And Nancy starts screaming, and Buffy can hear her. And so Buffy starts running towards Nancy, and Spike is following. He's not that far behind Buffy. And we go back to the bronze, and Xander's there with Anya, and he's like, Anya, fucking reverse the spell. Like, this is dangerous. The whole city is, I know, I love contracty goodness, but the whole city's getting torn up by this worm. Like, you gotta stop this. And Anya's like, I can't stop this. You know, it's not that easy to reverse a spell. And anyway, I'm in trouble. And Xander's like, what do you mean you're in trouble? And she's like, I'm in trouble with like all my vengeance demon cronies. And Xander's like, what do you mean? And she's like, yeah, DeHoffrin isn't happy with the work that I've been doing. So I need to do more eviscerations and deaths and all this stuff. And my work hasn't been good. And Xander's like, I don't give a fuck, dude. Like, reverse it. And Anya lays out, well, none of this would have happened if you hadn't left me at the altar. And Xander's like, yeah, that was shitty of me. But sooner or later, that excuse is going to stop working on you. And I was like, damn. Hit her where it hurts. And it's true.
Yeah, just Anya, just break your amulet and just go back to being a human person again. Right? Like, you didn't get punished. The only punishment you got last time was that they weren't giving you your powers back.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's... The thing about this scene that gets me is that they're still at the bronze and they're having a casual as fuck conversation as if people didn't just watch her in demon face fighting a vampire. They're sitting at a table. Everyone in the background is just like, hey, bronze, just another night at the bronze. Like,
yep.
Somehow Nancy's just blind to what happens in Sunnydale, but everyone else has seen so much. And no reaction to this woman who was just punched in the face twice and turned into a demon.
And kicked a man across the room. She just goes back to a table and sitting down.
Yeah.
Bartender, another round, please. Yeah. Like, what?
Whoa, did you see that happen? No, I didn't see anything.
Just another day in Sunnydale.
Wild. Wild.
Yeah. But I did enjoy Xander saying sooner or later that excuse is going to stop working, because it's like, yeah, he did leave, but you didn't have to become a vengeance demon that, like, kills people.
Yeah. I don't know. Should Buffy kill vengeance demons? Like, what's the rule on a vengeance demon? Are they on the purview of Slayer needs to put a stop to vengeance demons?
I mean, yes.
Because they seem dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, if Buffy's rules are like, wait, I don't kill humans, and I don't kill vampires that can't hurt humans.
Or vampires that I'm attracted to.
Yeah. Anya does not fall into either of those buckets. Like, she's actively causing people to die and be harmed and damage to the city.
I don't kill demons at demon bars either. Or at weddings.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they attack us at a wedding.
Yeah. Kill Anya.
If you're at Willie's bar, you don't know. She won't fight
them. Kind of like the Continental.
Yeah.
No business can take place at Willie's bar.
Yeah, but it's like, hey, would you say kill Spike or kill Anya? Which one's top of your list? For my mental well-being,
I'm Buffy.
Yeah, let's go. I was always assuming Buffy, but
Spike.
Okay, and if you're Xander,
Xander already tried to kill Spike.
You're killing Spike again.
Yeah, I think Spike is,
it's going to be Spike. That's why I was like, I don't care who you are. It's going to be Spike. Because it's just, he's too much of a wild card.
Yeah. He does have the chip. Like, Anya doesn't have any chip. She's
But you can, like, talk Anya down. Like, she still has a...
Yeah.
He literally does it. He literally just did it. And her powers are, just don't say the wish word around her.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
But she can, if you do say the wish, she can make, like, any wish happen. She created an alternate reality.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Can you use her wish powers for good, though? Because she can do whatever she wants when she say wish.
Yeah, I mean, there are some people that have, you know, been wronged by an ex, and they're like, you know what? Fuck it. I just wish they find peace in life because obviously something's wrong with them. And I'm just like, oh, man.
She's like, all right, Tibetan monastery, trapped, done.
Yeah. I mean, I think in the grand scheme of things, Anya technically is more dangerous than Spike, but Spike is just he's got the history and a wild card.
I'm thinking we're going to have to take down D'Hoffrin.
Ooh.
Yeah. You gotta cut off the head of the snake.
Yeah. So anyway, we go back and we're by Nancy, and Ronnie bursts out of the ground. He's about to attack Nancy, and Buffy, Spider-Man, saves Nancy. She swings like Tarzan to grab her off of the ladder and swings into like a dumpster or some shit.
A bunch of foam trash.
Yeah.
A bit of foam trash. Yeah. They completely land on it.
Yeah.
Like they're getting off of a zip line. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm concerned Buffy's only here for the zip line. And they like take a second, they're like, whew, we're safe, but they're not safe because Ronnie, he finds them.
Yeah, because they're on the ground now.
Yeah. And then he pops up out of the ground and Buffy's about to fight him and Spike shows up and he's like, don't worry, little Missy, I'm here. Let the demon fight the demon. And
he says, he says, the big bad is back.
Yeah.
Now, we had a little debate last episode about big bads, right? And I was thinking, and it goes to the argument that the big bad doesn't have to be the end of the season because Spike has never been an end of the season big bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you win that argument of the big bad does not have to be who faces it down, which makes Warren and the trio a big bad, as well as Willow.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Spike's a big bad, then you can have multiple big bads throughout the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that was Spike, the debate you had.
When he first came onto the scene, it was like, oh, this is different. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy's bad.
Yeah.
And then, Angelus kind of overshadowed him a little bit, but he was still a big bad.
Yeah, but at the end of season two, Spike and Buffy are kind of half teamed up versus Angela.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So Spike shows up. He's got a piece of like rebar and he's doing some Phantom Menace type twirlies with it.
Speaking of the intro, I think the one scene in the intro when he's on that subway car and he's got the like thing and he's flipping it, they should not have that clip there because he looks like a person who just learned how to do that move and he's thinking about it. It's every time I see that, I'm like, no.
When Buffy does the twirl from when she killed Sunday, that looks cool. But when Spike is doing that's like a very slow twirly.
Yeah. Because Buffy thing is like a motorized thing with the ring on it. Like you can kind of see it on her finger. So it doesn't a flip. But when he's doing that thing on the subway, it's like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I was like, that doesn't look cool at all.
But he's there with the rebar and he's attacking the demon. And right as he's about to stab the demon, apparently Anya reversed the curse and turns Ronnie into just human nude man. And Spike stabs him in the chest.
Shoulderish. That spot where people get shot in action movies and it's like, I'm fine.
Yeah, they get winged.
They get shot in that rotator cuff and they're like, hey, I can still use my arm.
Like upper chest. Like he hit him. He's got him in like the upper chest.
Yeah, whatever.
Low shoulder, high chest. Yeah. But just as he does that, he gets a chip headache. So confirmation, chip's still working.
Yeah. Now's the time to talk about this.
Yeah.
Because we saw in the recap that he says, return me to my former self. And then he gets a soul. And like I said before, this is not his former self.
Yep, he never was this.
He was never a chipped vampire with a soul. That return me to my former self thing, you gotta go back. Like, so they're making it where you can get a soul back multiple different ways, but you just can't reverse the vampire-ness of it. Which, in a world where Willow can do anything as a witch, it seems like turning from a vampire back into a real boy should be a thing that can happen.
Yeah.
And my God, how is the chip not destroyed? How is this season four chip stolen his brain?
Dude.
When that happened, I was like, really? He's got chip pain?
Yeah. I was like, Jesus Christ, dude.
Kill Spike just to put him out of his misery.
And the chip. So Ronnie, who was a demon, he was getting no chip pain. Just gets turned back to human and he gets chip pain.
How does the chip work?
But the chip doesn't work on Buffy, who is a human but had a suntan. Like, did Ronnie not get a fucking suntan or whatever?
He never technically died, I guess. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what this chip uses to detect.
They need to get that chip out just to examine the technology because it honestly, is crazy powerful.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. So much has been done to Spike at this point, too.
Yeah. And then it just keeps getting ratcheted
it
up
keeps
even more.
Yeah. So after he stabs Ronnie, he starts screaming, help me. And Buffy's ignoring him. And Ronnie's just nude in the streets.
Luckily, there's plenty of blankets in the trash.
And then Spike is going crazy again. Like, he's back to being his insane basement self. And Buffy's like, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? Like, what's going on? And he's like losing his mind. And Nancy is just there watching all of this. And she's like, what the fuck is going on?
Xander has my favorite line here. He's like, she's not calling me.
Yeah, that's absolutely my favorite. But before he arrives, Spike is losing his mind and he says he finally has like a moment of clarity and he like comes to after his insanity and walks menacingly like straight up to Buffy and he's like, oh, you think this is it? You think this is from beneath you to devour. This is just the beginning. The real headliner's coming. Death, horror, bloodshed from beneath you. It devours. And then Spike starts crying. And then he runs away.
Him running away is so funny.
Yeah. Because he walks weird.
It's like
he walks with like this weird limp or something, or like some kind of weird bounce. And when he's running, it's like this fluid, bouncy run. Like
he's running away like the guy in Friday after Debo takes his chain and he runs his car. Arms down.
Yeah. And then this is when Anya and Xander show up, right? Because Nancy like blames Anya for Ronnie's death. And then this is where Xander's like, she's not calling me.
Ronnie's not dead because they're waiting for an ambulance to come or something.
Yeah.
And Xander says that Anya did the right thing. And Anya's like, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. Yeah, you are.
Yeah. And Buffy's like, here, you stay with Ronnie. I'm going to go chase after Spike.
Are you going to chase him down to kill him? Because he's a wild card right now.
Yes. And then Anya also alludes to, like, you think this is bad. This is just the beginning. Things are about to get a whole lot worse. It's like, man, all this crypticness.
Yeah. And after, once we get to episode 11, we'll really know what's happening. Apparently.
It will really kick into to high gear. So where did Buffy run to? But of course, the graveyard. And I don't know why she would. I figured that she would have ran to the school basement, but that's just me.
I think she could track him down. You know, I don't know. She's fine. I didn't even care. I didn't care how she got there.
Yeah. So she goes to the graveyard and she sees like a church and the candles are on. And she goes into the church and the candles are all lit. And I was like, wait a minute. Crazy ass Spike took the time to like light like 45 candles?
No, these candles are always lit.
No, they're not. Get out of here.
You don't know what churches are like. You don't know what churches in the middle of nowhere are like.
In the middle of a graveyard. So she's in there and she's looking around and she's like, Spike? Spike? And Spike is there and he's all crazy and he's like, the costume didn't work. The costume didn't work. And Buffy's like, what happened to you?
Yeah, he's shirtless and he's got the
scars on his chest.
The blue shirt to her, or throws it down or whatever.
And she like touches his chest and he's like, oh, does the girl want service? I'll service the girl. And he starts unbuttoning his pants and Buffy's like, fuck, no you're not. And she just throws him across the room.
Well, the line is, get it hard, service the girl, and starts unzipping. And then he gets thrown across the room. And then he goes, girl doesn't want to be serviced because there's no spark.
Yeah.
And I remember in the season finale, I made an all spark Transformers joke about him getting his soul back. And now he's calling his soul a spark.
Yeah.
I just had to bring that up.
Buffy like keeps asking. She's like, what happened? And Spike's like, I can't tell you. I tried to find the spark that would make me fit in. And I dreamed of killing you, Buffy. And Buffy's like, what? And he's like, you can't look at me. You can't see me when I'm talking about this. And he runs into the shadows and he's just like lurking around in the shadows.
And she grabs a stake.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, fucking end him. But we know he's not going to be an end.
I know. We love Spike. Again, we love Spike. But logistically in the show, Buffy needs to get him out of the life.
I don't know how much I enjoy this Spike at this point.
I never enjoy muttering insane character stuff. Yeah. Like when Tara loses her mind and she's talking about the glory coming. And it's like, I've just never been a fan of that stuff in movies and media and TV and stuff. But it's more of a personal issue. Like if some people might like the nonsensical ramblings.
Yeah. So Spike is rambling and he's talking about the spark and Buffy's kind of looking at him like the spark and she's kind of like putting it together. And then he says, Angel should have warned me about this. Angel should have warned me. And then now Buffy's kind of like, wait a fucking second. wait a second. And then Spike's like, they put the spark back into me, and now all it does is burn. And then eventually Buffy's like, oh my God, you have your soul again. And then Spike goes, it's what you wanted, right? It's what you wanted. This is the way that I've been, I can be with you finally, or this is what you wanted from me, right? And he's like dealing with all the guilt that from everything he's done. He keeps talking about how like everyone is talking to me, everyone's in my head. And Buffy's like, why did you do this? And he goes, because I wanted to be the kind of man who would never, parentheses, rape.
because they've been saying rape the whole time, but he can't say.
Yeah, he can't bring himself to it. And he's like, I just want to be the kind of man. I just want to be loved. And he's standing in front of a huge crucifix, which used to do stuff. And then he starts to just like lay on the cross. He's like, can I finally be loved now? Can I be loved? Can I? I don't know what he starts muttering
he says,
at the end.
He says, can we rest now?
Yeah.
While he's
yeah,
like
yeah.
hugging the cross, and he's like, smoke is coming from him. And Buffy yeah. is in shock watching this and tearing up. She's a good actress, man. She's a yeah. good actress.
She starts crying because yeah. you see Spike as this martyr character who tried to rape her. Now he's smoking on the cross, and he's yeah. just this complex, like, oh, he's trying to do the right thing or whatever.
The scene is visually done well, like him walking in the shadows. I tried to kill yeah. you. Buffy's grabbing stuff. He's coming up on the side. It's staged well.
You know what? It
but I don't know
of?
What. Yeah. Okay. Go. Yeah, go ahead.
Remember that me and Vance. I used to do a
That's
podcast
me.
Called the Anime Movie Podcast with another person, and Vance was a guest on one where we reviewed a movie called Wicked City. And you remember like how black and blue a lot of that movie was?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what this scene, because it's like black and blue, like they're shadows, mm-hmm. and the light parts are like this pale yeah. night blue.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of that.
There's a church scene in that too at the end of that.
Yeah,
video, yeah.
And yeah, it's visually cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like, I get that we're supposed to feel bad for Spike maybe here, but do I? Not really.
I don't know exactly. I don't know what I'm supposed to feel at this moment. Like, visually, him on the cross, giving himself up, saying, can we rest now? And I was just like, just stab him in the back.
Right?
Just do it. Just put it
just in. Put him out of his misery
put him
at
out
this
of
point.
His misery.
Like, he's going crazy.
Yeah. Like, I, again, like I said, love James Marsters. Think he should be in the show. It makes sense. But they've killed off better characters earlier. You know, it's just like, yeah. I just don't see what keeping him alive, what mental sanity that leaves for Buffy. And he just punched her in the face in the bronze.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, so he got his soul back, but he's still a vampire and he still has a chip, but the chip doesn't affect him punching Buffy. Because we've seen yeah. that. And he was still okay with beating the shit out of Anya so that the secret wouldn't get out. That's bad guy material, too. He's got a soul, but he's not. He's still Spike.
Yeah. I mean, we do get confirmed. Like, we were like, is he a vampire? Because we didn't see it last time. Like, fully yeah. confirmed vampire with a soul and chip.
Angel didn't tell me. Angel told me. He warned me. And I didn't listen. Yeah. Like, Angel has been bad as Angelus, but he's never been as physically abusive as, yeah, I mean, he's creepy enough that he's been, like, stalking a 16-year-old, but,
Yeah. Well, we also never saw Angel, like, he never interacted with Buffy as he had just got his soul back. Like, Spike, this is fresh for Spike. I think we've seen Angel when he just got it, like a flashback of when he just got his soul, and he was like kind of going crazy too, right?
Yeah, but I don't think his interactions with Darla, which we've seen some of when he had his soul, he was still mm-hmm. trying to play coy. He didn't want to do anything. He wasn't like, he was not willing to do something dangerous or bad to hide the secret that he had his soul. Because we've seen him try to hide his soul. And he did not yeah. go to wailing on. I was like, do you think punching Anya to keep the secret is going to make you look good in front of Buffy? And then he punches Buffy.
Yeah.
That's what got me. I was like, he's still, like, there's no trust level here. And why does Buffy care that he got his soul back? Like, she looks like, why did you do this? This is the craziest thing you could have ever done. It's like, I'd be more like, how? Like, Anya would want to know how he did it.
Yeah.
But apparently there's like 80 different ways to get your soul back.
Yeah. And there's only one way to lose it. You know what I'm saying? Wink, wink.
Hey, Buffy, if you want to get rid of that, you know what to do. Well, I don't think he would lose his on that because he doesn't have the gypsy curse.
Yeah, he doesn't have the gypsy curse. Yeah. Angel's soul getting back is different than Spike's soul getting back.
which we still have questions about how that actually works.
Yeah. This show, man.
I didn't know what I was supposed to. I think we're supposed to feel some sympathy for Spike in this last scene.
Well, yeah, just, dude, he's like hanging up on a cross. Yeah. They're making him like a martyr, but it's like he's an attempted rapist.
Yeah, he's still.
But he felt so bad about trying to rape. But then, like we've debated a bunch of times, his demeanor going to go get his soul back was, I'll show this bitch what's going to, things are going to change this bitch. And this then he gets his soul back.
In this scene, like, he goes, I dreamed of killing you.
Yeah.
Like, Buffy, that's too much of a threat. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what they're trying to do to us.
It feels very bipolar. Like, you could just, you know, like, we talked about the redemption arc. Mm-hmm. And it felt like he had cleaned himself up. He came back. The stuff he says in the house is good. The stuff he says when they get to the hole in the ground is good. And I'm like, all right. All right. Yeah. And then when we got to the Bronze, and he starts vampire face punching people, I was like, all right. There he is. I was like, you haven't changed at all. But I have changed, but I don't want you to know how I changed because it hasn't.
Yeah. Why doesn't he want her to know? I guess, like, does he just want her to think that he turned over a new leaf as a vampire? Like, what's the point of keeping the secret?
And now he's also, because he has a soul, the thing that's from beneath is talking through him somehow.
Yeah, he's got like demons talking through him in his head, and also the victims of his misdeeds, I guess, in his head.
Again, I'll go back to the end of the last episode when he had all the voices. He interacted with Warren, but I don't remember him interacting with the mayor ever.
Yeah, he was around in season 3 for like one episode, because it was that episode where he says that he's Lover's bitch or whatever, and Drusilla just dumped him.
Yeah, and then he goes to look for Drusilla.
Yeah, I think that's the only episode that he's in season 3.
Or he might come back towards... He doesn't come back towards the end because that's all the school stuff, right?
Yeah, the school stuff.
He's Faith. Not a part of any of that.
Yeah, it's Faith, Mr. Trick, the mayor. Like, it's a whole lot of other stuff going on.
So when the mayor shows up and it kind of was like, this is in his head and stuff, but not really. I was always confused by the mayor. I love the mayor showing up, but I was confused because Spike doesn't have an interaction with the mayor.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would that be one of the manifestations that he sees? Yeah, yeah. That was all Angel. Yeah.
It's just for us.
Yeah, he didn't interact with the Master that much at all. I don't think he ever had any scenes with the Master. I mean, he knows of the Master, but I don't think he ever met him.
Did he meet him in Angel? He met him in Angel. Because in the show Angel, they have that flashback episode that was like a double flashback with Buffy, because we see Spike's history and then we see Angel's history. And don't we see Spike interacting with the Master, and the Master doesn't really like him because he's very like precocious and kind of like brash?
I think he didn't like Angel because Angel was precocious, because Darla brings Angel
there.
Oh,
you're right. Yeah. Because then Spike starts being brash and Angel starts to.
Yeah. So Spike has never met the Master.
And I won't go as far as that. He may have. Maybe. Did he?
Because he comes to Sunnydale in the second season, and he's gone by the time the Master, he's not around during the end of the Master stuff. It's another Angel thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if like he may have, but we maybe not have saw it.
Yeah, it's just weird that the Master and the mayor are his part of his visions, but I get why they're part of the visions for the show. And he might know of the Master, but it's never been established.
Well, I'm sure that if he has, Discord will let us know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of a wrap for this episode. Got anything else to say about this one? Beneath You?
No. Curious to see where it goes from here.
Next episode is titled Same Time, Same Place. TV Demon.
Because of
Demon
the
in the TV.
Demon in the TV, Poltergeist. Yeah, same time, same place. Let's see.
Is this another like time warp thing, you think? This is a whole episode of Spike watching Passions, catching up.
And he's like, they're still in the same spot because soap operas don't move. Yeah, same time, same place. I think we're going to, you know, I'm going to just predict that we have something new with Anya and the Vengeance Demon, her fallout from that.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening. If you want to join our Patreon, hear what we talk about with Angel. Wild shit going on Angel right now. Patreon.com/boyswatchingBuffy. Do Boys Watching Angel, Boys Watching Movies, Joe's Fashion Report /Corner. If you want to get a shout out, Apple Podcasts 5-star rating and review, Spotify 5-star rating, send it to us. We got an Amazon wish list. Join our Discord. We have lively conversations and debates in there. Not political debates, people. Sorry for opening that can of worms last week. A lot of, let's not do that anymore. Yeah. join our Discord. Follow the Instagram at boyswatchingbuffy. Email boyswatchingbuffy@gmail.com. We got merch. And yeah, that's a wrap, everybody. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned next time for when we talk about Same Time, Same Place.
I'd love to offer you some guarantee that you'll be welcome back to Sunnydale with open arms, but I can't. You may not be wanted, but you will be needed.